Hello and welcome to Board Stupid, the podcast that loves talking tabletop board games, D&D and other awesome stuff. I'm Wayne.
I am still Simon.
And I'm Tom.
Your delay while you're doing other stuff makes you never sure if that's what your name is.
Hang on, it says here, I'm Tom.
Literally we're just, reading notes.
We're just nerds talking about the things we love that are worth geeking out over. So Simon, are you ready?
Yes.
Tom, are you ready?
Yes.
Good.
I am.
I'm ready, and if you guys are ready, let's catch up because it's been a little bit of a while and dive in to this week's episode. This week, it's a roundup of the last couple of months because I've been travelling the world and we've all been busy.
And there's been illnesses, you know, the plague got at least one of us.
At least one, if not several of us, and all of that. So we took a little bit of time.
I've been here the whole time. But
Tom's been
Have any recording equipment.
We had to put fresh batteries in, but he's been...
Yeah, we put new batteries in the Tom. But he is now working and fully operational. Mm-hmm. But yeah, this is a roundup. We're going to do a roundup of the last few months. And in this show, we talk about our favourite gaming moments during our break, discuss our pick of the most interesting crowdfunding projects in the world today, what the next big things take the slices out of our wage packets are, and break, is that a sentence? I don't know. And break down the tabletop gaming news stories that will tickle our respective fancies, or at least news for us, because we've got some fun news too.
Mm. Yeah, we do.
So, yeah, let's talk about that break. I travelled a bunch of different countries, then got COVID, because those two things aren't in any way connected. Well, I didn't have any symptoms, though. Well, not really. I was totally fine.
Lucky.
I was supposed to have knee surgery, and then that was cancelled. And so, yeah, there's a whole heap of stuff going on in my life.
I'd say only briefly compared to some laid up by the same and... It was a few days off. I played my Xbox for the first time in 2 years.
Yeah, nice.
I've still played loads of board games, just not with Wayne.
Just not with me for a change.
It did feel weird. It really did. I kept expecting this inundation of, are you free tomorrow? Are you free tonight? And it just didn't happen for a while.
Yeah,
yeah, I've still tried to play quite a few games. In fact, I've got a whole list of stuff that we've played that we'll go through in a minute. But yeah, it's nice to... get the crew back together.
Yeah, exactly. We got the band back together, boys. Yeah, I bought a PS5. I played it like twice.
Oh, you bought one?
Yeah.
For one game?
Yeah, well, yeah. For
it's future-proofing.
Yeah, future-proofing. Final Fantasy VII Remake Part 2, I need that in my life. And Final Fantasy 16. That's the only reason I buy PlayStations these days. What? I sold shares. It's fine. Right, so what did we play in the last 2 months? And let's tell you what, do the big list, and then let's talk about some highlights from that.
Yeah, so I'm going to go through a whole bunch of games, and some of these are games that we've played before.
Some we've played together, some we've played apart.
Some of the games we've played together. Some of these are games actually that we've spoken about previously on the podcast, but it's always nice to play them again.
Always.
So we played a couple of times actually. Gaia Project.
I'm going to stop you there. My Gaia Project made my brain hurt for 3 days afterwards.
Yeah. It wasn't as bad the second time.
No, but still. A heavy game.
So I went into Dice Saloon in Brighton.
Good shop.
Which is great. It's since they've moved, like the whole new layout, they're no longer in a random sort of warehouse. It's a great place. They've got a huge selection of board games. And I went in with an intention of buying something that would be on the lighter end. To put into my collection. And I remember vividly standing next to the shelves and talking to my other half and essentially saying, I have too many complicated board games and I don't get an opportunity to play lighter games to get people into board gaming enough. So what I did was I came away with the most complicated board game I could find.
Why?
The hardest of hard Euros. But really enjoyed it. I've played it a couple of times.
I'm sure you have. That's a failed
and
mission.
I played it solo as well. It's got an Automa Factory Automa.
Oh, they're good. They do a good job.
Absolutely brilliant.
Yeah,
it was really, really good. I've really enjoyed it. It's a very, very chunky Euro.
It's a beast.
Really good fun. You and I played Caverna.
Yeah, played that for the first time. I've never played Caverna before.
It plays quite quickly with only two players.
Yeah, Agricola, it's, you know, two, basically.
Very long. It actually goes up to seven players, but don't no, for the love of God, don't do
Stop
that.
Stop it. No, it doesn't.
Yeah, it's great at sort of like four, maybe five players.
Uh-huh.
Has a lot of sort of like good scaling elements. But it's fun to build yourself a little dwarf home and family and village.
Yes.
I've played a couple of times. Terraforming Mars again.
Have you played that, Simon?
Nope, I'm sat here and waiting for Tom to mention the game I've played.
Yep.
It's fine. I have my own list.
There might be some on this list. Marvel Champions I played Marvel Champions with Pete. Pete owns all of Marvel Champions.
All of that. He has,
and loads of peripherals and really nice extra sort of fancy 3D printed stuff.
Very fancy version.
It's,
yeah,
it's really good fun. It reminds me a lot of Sentinels of the Multiverse.
But yeah,
it's,
has that
it's a much more sort of mature and I suppose a bit more complex version.
It has more fantasy flight.
Yeah, it has the deck building element, whereas Sentinels is very sort of predefined.
Yeah.
But it's the same sort of game, co-op versus a...
One big bad.
A game. Yeah, you're playing against the villain and their various plots and schemes. We played Near and Far a couple of times.
That's a good one. I want to play that more. And there's another one Simon would like and hasn't played. That's a cracker.
I got a nice little organizer for it, so it'll be much easier to set up.
Very nice.
So I think we should give that a go at some point. It has like a mini campaign version that goes with it, but you can play it standalone, however you like. It's got three and a half different ways of playing it, I think.
Three and a half.
Yeah, one of them.
Did you just not finish the last
one? No, one of them. It didn't look like it was sort of like a full version of how to play the game. It's just sort of like playing individual one-off things. So, it's pretty good though. We've played Root with the new expansion.
I want to talk about that later.
We'll come back to that.
Yeah,
That was fun.
Root's always fun.
Everyone's a crow.
A free. Surprise!
You're a crow too. I played Aeon's End again. Got my ass kicked again.
Yeah,
I need to play it more and win eventually. Maybe
it's good, but it's tough.
It was tough. Played Wasteland and the Express Delivery Service introduced some new people to that.
I love that game.
We love
play
it.
That more.
Yeah, it's really good fun. Again. It's really good fun.
Bloody good.
Of all the games that are crying out for expansions.
I know. I'm still gutted that Pandasaurus didn't do it.
God, you could add so much to that game.
Please, Pandasaurus.
I would love some more variety in the missions, because you see a lot of the same missions and events now, having played it a bunch of times.
Or alternate rules for raiders. There's loads you can do with that.
We played the Prophecy of Kings expansion for Twilight Imperium.
Because it wasn't ridiculous enough.
Imperium needed was more rules.
Yep.
Yeah, more cards. Like about 500 more cards.
It needed more components too.
More components.
Yep.
And a really fancy 3D printed organizer.
Yep. The organizer you've bought is insane.
Did your organizer that cost as much as the game
than the base game?
Did it hold the expansion as well, or did you immediately have to buy an expansion to your organizer expansion?
The game plus the expansion, and it is glorious, and it all fits in one box.
It's worth it. Are you kidding me?
One box that now has wheels, I assume.
It weighs more than Frank.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, easy weighs more than Frank.
I got the expansion for Tapestry, and we played that.
Ooh.
The arts and architecture? No, there's the other one.
The other one. It's the one that's like plots and something.
Okay.
Plots and planning.
Plots.
I
can't remember. But it...
it does stuff.
It gives everyone like their own unique monument that only they can build, that you have like... It gives you a sort of like a short-term goal to work towards, which is
statue
nice.
Of myself.
It gives you something that you can work towards as a short-term strategy when you're feeling a little bit lost because the game is very, very sprawling. And it adds a bunch of extra cards and loads of new factions. Some of the factions are really cool. So that was good fun. We should definitely give that a go again.
Yeah, I need to play Tapestry.
I've only had one go at Tapestry.
It's been a while.
We played New Angeles with 6 players.
And it was good.
Great.
It was great.
Very nearly burned the city down.
Well, no one won.
Nobody
won.
Yeah, well, everyone lost.
Everyone lost.
I nearly pulled it out of the bag. I got the most perfectly timed Federalist betrayal.
So close.
And everyone was aghast.
Yeah.
And then having worked out that you guys couldn't win, you decided to just set the city on fire with me.
Yeah.
While I was still in it.
Yeah. Fuck it, burn it all down. Yeah. Who cares?
We played Stardew Valley.
Which was pretty good.
Which was good fun.
It has problems, but it is all right.
Yeah, it's cashed in super heavily on the sort of the nostalgia of the game.
Yes.
And there are some elements of it that are probably to its detriment as a result.
Yeah.
Quite enjoyed it, but it's very long. Too long.
Too long for it, yeah.
We played Oath for the first time.
Oath is fucking great.
Yeah.
it's by Cole Whirl and his big brain.
Mr. Leader Games.
Yeah, Leader Games, yeah.
Yeah.
I need to get in on that.
It's good. Are you free this evening?
Not really.
No, oh, okay. next okay. time.
I wasn't invited. You'll notice I'm not piping in on any of these.
I'm invited.
I'm joking.
I played The Expanse.
I've not played that.
Which was good fun. It's very Twilight Struggle in terms of the way the cards work. You're either taking a card for resources or you're taking a card for an effect. So you're sort of always drawing from the same set of cards. You're always playing from the same available cards as everyone else. And then it's a question of whether you take something to deny it and then use it as an event or use it as a resource.
I like multi-use card.
Yeah. Like Dune Imperium, you could use it for favor or trade.
Yeah, so more so. Basically, if you buy the card and you use it for the resources, the effect of the sort of the event side of the card still goes into play, but it goes to the other players to choose to use.
Oh, okay. Like
so if you don't activate the event,
someone else gets a bonus.
Someone else gets an opportunity to do it.
Interesting. Nice.
Cool.
Which can backfire horribly. But that was really good fun. We played The King is Dead.
It's one of my new ones. Yeah. And it's
played it like 4 times.
In a row. It's a nice
row.
We're gonna have really that on short. The show because I think Simon, you would appreciate its subtlety. That is a very subtle game.
Yeah, I know nothing about it. I arrived today and sort of saw this yet another box on the shelf.
Tom's it. Have you bought another one? Yes, I have. Yeah, it's good. Very subtle. Yeah.
And then the last one on my list, I think it's the last one on my list, I managed to play a game of Eclipse Second Edition,
ooh,
which was the other game that I was trying to get hold of about the time that I bought Twilight Imperium. And it's much more Euro.
That's the one I saw you playing at the Crawley Game Community.
It's got an insane production.
And it was really, really good fun. I lost miserably, but I had a great time.
Oh, first time. Yeah. Mate. Yeah, it's going to happen.
It was really good. And if I hadn't invested loads of time and effort and money into Twilight Imperium, I would definitely sort of try and get hold of a copy of it. But it's like gold dust anyway.
Yeah.
So it's very difficult to get hold of.
Kickstarter print, wasn't it?
Mm.
So what have you played? You played stuff?
I have. Well, yeah. Am I listing the things I bought? We'll
do that in a bit.
Well, I've been playing the things I bought.
Okay,
so
well,
let's
come for that. We'll wait for you. Then we'll wait for you.
I replayed stuff, I suppose. Yeah, I mean, I've largely been playing newer ones. Yeah, mine kind of cross over into the things I bought and my highlights of the month.
And I've basically been away, eating and traveling. Huh? Should we talk about some news?
Let's
go to the news. I'll insert a jingle in the post edit. It'll be like that.
We'll just keep that one.
We'll keep that one. I'll cut that and use it for every news segue from now
Please
on.
Please do.
Right, I suppose our news, and we'll cover it now. We might mention it before, but it's coming close. It's only a couple of weeks away. We are going to UKGE, the UK Gaming Expo, as a team.
Can't wait.
Oh, yeah.
Bored Stupid's going to the UK Gaming Expo.
3rd of June, so a month away as we speak, we record.
Cannot wait. Go away for a few days and wander around.
And games.
Buy a bunch of games, look at some new stuff, and probably play lots of games.
Play a shitload
hopefully.
Of games.
Yeah.
We're also going to be meeting up with at least an element or segment of Meeple Minded.
Yes.
Jason is going up, and that'll be good to get him on board, and we'll play some games with them. But it's my first time at UKG, I think, for all of us.
Same,
actually.
Yeah,
up at NEC, it's going to be a cracking event. There'll be representation from every major publisher, I think.
Yeah, I know last year there was quite a few people that still pulled out because of the COVID.
Yeah.
But I think it's pretty much back to full capacity this year.
And yeah, we'll be playing a bunch, we'll be playtesting a bunch, we'll be reporting from the event, at least that's my plan, so we'll we're
working out what we can do on site will be interesting. Mm. We'll definitely, I think, in the evenings do like a, if not per day, but we'll just get something of our views of it on the day.
We can try and record a little snippet of Wayne or myself squealing with glee and running down the corridors or something.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
That.
We'll get some Insta stories or something like that. Up there
yeah,
as well,
I might get some video as well, depending.
Good idea. And I'm thrilled a bit. So that's going to be super exciting.
And at the Airbnb we're staying at, there's a table tennis table. So.
There is. Yeah, we've got the Airbnb. It's got a nice big gaming table. Mm. It's close to the NEC, but also close enough so we can go get a curry in the town. Oh, it's going to be...
Birmingham curry. Is
I
like
know.
One,
it's like
right?
a whole thing, right? So that's like a whole thing. Yeah, I'm very excited. So that's my major bit of news, that we're Board Soup is going to UKG. We'll be reporting from there live if we can. But absolutely, you'll get our impressions of whatever we do when we're up there.
I also have some news.
What's your news, Simon?
Well, you will undoubtedly remember in every episode for the last year and a half that I've mentioned the comic shop at some point.
The comic shop Crawley.
Because we are really good friends of theirs.
We are.
We are fans of theirs. We do a lot of shopping there. And hopefully you guys do some shopping there too. And we have, well, it's not necessarily an exciting offer for you guys so much as it is for us. But it's something to keep in mind every time you think you might buy something.
It's a way that you can support the show.
You can support us and you can support the shop because it might incentivize you to buy there a bit more often than you would. That is, we have an affiliate link. It's really straightforward. If you would all anyways otherwise buy online from thecomicshop.co.uk, all you need to do is tag on /boardstupid, BoardStupid. So thecomicshop.co.uk/boardstupid will take you to our affiliate link. Then you carry on shopping just as normal. You now get free shipping on any spend £50 or over. It's normally £100 or over. So if you don't live locally, but you want to order some games online from the comic shop, you get free shipping on £50 or over using our affiliate link. And we get a little kickback, which means we'll buy more games and we'll keep making episodes the games that we get.
Exactly so. That. You'll find the link somewhere in below in the description.
Yeah, I'll add it to every post I put up on Instagram.
Oh, there we
everything
go.
I put
affiliate link. Yeah. So that's exciting news for us. It helps support the show. It helps support the shop. And why not, you know, take some money out of Jeff Bezos's massive pockets and put it somewhere that
he
can
has
actually
the biggest pockets in the world.
Exactly.
We promised
giant
you,
trousers.
As keen supporter, it really is satisfying because we do what you do. We look online and go, oh, that game's £24 online. Mm. Oh, it's £28 at the shop. That's £4. I could save myself £4. But that £4 difference, rather than going to anonymous online, God knows what, mammoth warehouse, you can give it to real life people with a real life shop where you can go and play the games, you can discuss games, you can meet people who are equally enthused.
So it'll give you an amazing service and
give
great
recommendations.
Knowledge.
I regularly interrupt people who are trying to do shopping in the comic shop to make recommendations.
Hey, have you played this? Yeah, absolutely. There's a great selection of stuff. Go check it out now.
There's an ever-increasing, which is why every time we walk in, we buy something new, I think.
Mm, absolutely.
Damn them, and also good on them.
Good on them, but also, ouch, my paper.
Exciting times.
Exciting times indeed. What's your bit of news, Tom?
So my news, and I think we mentioned this before, my news is related to Twilight Imperium's 25th anniversary.
I've heard you like that game.
Yeah, it's pretty good. the Twilight Imperium 25th anniversary was a couple of weeks ago. And there have been sort of various
25 years,
articles.
Though. I'm just going to stop you there just for a second. 25 years. Is
four editions.
That's amazing, isn't it? It is amazing.
So they've been doing a couple of little articles and various bits and pieces, and they've released a few new things. So there was... it's been sort of going around for a little while, but they now are releasing the Twilight Imperium role-playing tabletop role-playing game,
which
sounds really interesting because the lore of Twilight Imperium is really cool.
It's freaking cool. It's really good.
The game itself comes with like a lore book, and because I've spent 25 years sort of building on the background of the setting, it's actually really surprisingly well developed.
Yeah, they've got all of the background technologies, you know, the laws of the setting, everything,
all the
as
factions,
you say,
all the different races,
ready to go.
It looks really interesting.
Cool. Yeah,
they also have just announced a game called Inscription, Twilight Imperium Inscription. which is a roll and write game.
Set in the Twilight
Imperium. Imperium system. So that'll probably be somewhere a little on the lighter side rather than playing like a full-blown tabletop role-playing game.
Apparently it looks like it's about the most complicated roll and write ever released.
Naturally.
That is par for the course with Twilight Imperium.
Well, that partly answered my question. I was going to say, as possibly the most hardcore mathy game I've ever played, how much crossover do you think there is between the standard Twilight Imperium player and role-playing?
Fuck all. Oh, sorry. I thought you were going to say roll and write. But role-playing, possibly.
You know, I suppose.
Actually, yeah, possibly.
I would, role-playing. I would be, yeah, actually, you see it. There's a, you know, Shut Up and Sit Down did their own playthrough of the game in costumes, role-playing the game. And their factions while they were playing it.
Fair enough. I wasn't sure because I've only got limited experience. To me, it felt very much like a, you know, I'm Dave playing the yellow ones rather than I'm the Hakan Emirates or whatever. I can't even remember. I
know the Emirates of Hakan. Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, I think there could be enough crossover for sure.
Yeah. And then the last bit of extra sort of bonus material that's come out of Fantasy Flight is they have just released the Codex 3.
Codex 3,
Twilight Imperium 4th edition, in addition to having a massive expansion, now has 3 codexes, which are essentially a mix of errata kind of and a little bit of rebalancing and extra material.
Extra content.
I always associate Codex with Warhammer.
Yeah, as well.
It's more like rebalancing and errata because Twilight Imperium has quite a big competitive scene.
Yes, tournament scene.
They make efforts to try and keep it balanced or rebalance it, particularly since they released Prophecy of Kings about 18 months ago, I think it is now.
Which added a fuck ton of extra stuff in there.
So Codex 3 has some rebalancing on some of the factions, some of the heroes, some of the technologies, and then they've released a brand new faction, which will be shortly available for on-demand printing.
Nice.
Through Fantasy Flight.
New faction. New rules for that faction.
Big deal. Look really cool. They look interesting. So definitely be keen to try and get hold of some printed components, stick them in the box as well.
Should we talk about some of those GOTs? Mm. Let's do you, Simon, because let's start with you and the things that you've bought and the things that you've played.
Not a massive list, and I reckon even though it's an increase on my regular purchasing, it probably still outstripped by you too.
No, maybe.
I have bought and enjoyed Cascadia.
I've heard of Cascadia.
It's like
the tile building
national parks one, right?
Yes, I have heard of this, and I really want to play it.
Art by Beth Sobel, who did the artwork for Wingspan. So it will immediately visually be relatable for you.
Nice, beautiful.
It's a really simple but detailed game in that you're on your turn, you're drafting a wilderness tile and a wildlife token that is an animal to go in it. Simple as that. Do it 20 times, that's the game. But it's the positioning of where you put them, because there's individual scoring criteria for each position. It's a wonderfully simple game. Played a few games with my girlfriend, also took it into work, managed to get a game in just about in the hour's lunch that we have, and the new players enjoyed it there as well. So yeah, well,
looks lovely.
Look forward to playing it with you guys and then doing a more in-depth dive into the game.
I've heard a lot about it. I think I definitely want to play this. This has been on the list for a while.
It had, from what I read, a limited availability for a little while. It then had more, like, I don't know if it was a reprint or just more.
I think it had a reprint. Possibly
and true. Quickly entered, if not the top 10, then definitely the top kind of 30 on BGG. It jumped up there highly rated.
Well, currently rated an 8.1, which is very
high.
Yeah. Stupendously high. Yeah.
I have, hopefully sitting on my doorstep when I get home tomorrow, it being a bank holiday today, they probably won't be delivering, Libertalia, Gales of Windcrest.
Ooh, the Stonemaier remake of Libertalia.
Yeah.
Which, admittedly, I knew sod all about in the past.
But it was a classic. So.
But in rare exception to anything ever advertised at me, I saw a lot of this, being a follower on Instagram of Jamie Segmire.
Yep.
Constantly seeing this and went, God damn, that looks like a very pretty game. You know, I like my aesthetic.
Yeah.
But definitely a solid-looking gameplay game as well.
Stonemaier, so you can you know, you can imagine that it will be of good quality.
Yeah. Yes, it definitely.
The comic shop have a copy in store. They went to a promo copy. And yeah. they have it available to play in store. So if you hear us jabbering about it a lot and fancy a go, pop along and you can play at table.
Play it for a very reasonable table fee.
Super excited for that to arrive. And as of yesterday, I bought Century, A New World, which is the third in the series of Century games. The first being Century Spice Road, which yourself have, Wayne.
Yeah, we've done an episode on that.
The middle one, I've not seen around. Eastern Wonders, yeah. It's, I think, less of the appealing of the three from what I've read briefly.
It's the one that adds sort of like a tile map thing.
Yeah, yeah, like that's right. Little boating kind of ships and so on. Yeah. I'm sure it'll be, you know, based on Spice World being Spice World. I've combined. I knew it would happen because you see, it's Spice Road in A New World, so Spice World is going Spice to happen. World.
Yeah,
spice up your life.
I only played once so far because I only bought it yesterday. Really enjoyed it. It is a level of complexity higher than Spice Road. It has that trading mechanic of the four coloured cubes with added meeples.
Okay.
The tiniest meeples.
I did see those little baby meeples.
Super looking forward to playing that. And again, degrees of variability based on number of players and some randomization of tiles and tokens. Nice. Super excited.
I'm very excited to play that, and I'm excited to combine it with Spice Road.
Yes, this is the thing that partly drew me, because I knew I liked Spice Road.
Yeah, which is good.
And I thought, well, there's no point in me buying that one. Wayne has that one.
Mm.
I'll buy this other one. Because you can, and they have, you can combine it with two of the games. You can combine it with, in any combination.
Yeah.
Or all three of them together to make this ginormous game.
Ubermensch game, yeah.
Which looks slightly terrifying. But I'm really curious to see how it runs with
I'm
the
fascinated to see how they combine. And I can't wait to do that.
I really want to plug them together and see how they function.
Yeah, it's fascinating. What a great design philosophy by Emerson Matsuji. He was a very clever designer.
So they are the three that I have bought and are, well, two in my possession and one has been shipped. So as long as Royal Mail don't go wonky with it.
Yeah, as long as they don't. Fingers crossed.
How about you guys?
Tom, what'd you buy?
What else have you bought?
I didn't buy this, but I was gifted the other expansion to Quacks of Quedlinburg.
You were?
Which we need to have a go with. We've played with the Herb Witches.
Which
so
is pretty good.
The other one
not
to go as well.
Hyper complex as an expansion. It's pretty easy.
No, it's a nice little staple on. We really like Quacks.
Yeah, we do.
So, you know, something that adds a little bit more to it. Great. It's got loads of replayability already, but looking forward to giving that a try. I also got the expansion for the Essentials Edition Viticulture.
Which I still haven't played.
No, me either.
Is a Stonemaier game.
One we need to do on the show,
and one that
God
we
sake.
Definitely need know, to right? have a go.
With or without a glass or two.
Yeah, quite.
Yeah, the expansion in particular is very highly rated. It's the Tuscany expansion.
Uh-huh.
So it adds a lot to the game. It actually replaces the game board with a new game board.
Oh.
And adds some additional stuff.
I quite like that as an expansion. Here's a new board.
Yeah.
Well, that's not very common.
Yeah. It's significant, isn't
because
it?
Because it's very much a worker placement game.
Yeah.
The board is essentially reprinted with all the new stuff added onto the board.
Okay.
Which is
okay.
really cool.
Nice.
And then, finally, I've very recently picked up Ark Nova.
Like 2 days ago, I think it was.
Yeah, 2 days ago.
Yeah.
It was out of stock everywhere, super highly rated. I've been keeping an eye out for it. And then Aaron at the shop managed to order in a few copies and put me on the reserve list.
Yeah,
so
not a single one
of
the copies he got managed to end up on the shelf.
They were all pre-allocated. Yep. I happened to be in the shop at the right time and he said, "You want this, don't you?" And I was like, "Yes."
Yeah. Yes, I did.
And then when I saw him, he said, "Oh, I thought you might have bought Ark Nova." And I said, "But both Tom and Jason have bought it, so what's why?"
You don't need to.
I'm dying to give that a go. I love the idea of the quite complex Euro-style collecting and building a zoo.
Yeah, your description of it sounded very much like something we'll enjoy.
Zoo making. It's like Terraforming Mars.
It's a little bit of Terraforming Mars. It's a little
Dinosaur
bit
Island.
Of Dinosaur Island.
Nice.
Yeah, it sounds really, really cool. I had a look through all the rules the other day, and obviously I want to see all the mechanics in play, but I really like how it sounds like everything will interact.
I got, for the most part, a couple of expansions. I got the Dune expansion, Rise of Ix, which we haven't played yet for Dune Imperium. Dune Imperium is amazing. We've played it for the show. And yeah, the expansion I've heard nothing but amazing things about. So I'm very excited to bolt that in and maybe get a couple of games of that in a row. Because yeah, that game rewards some serious repeat play. I also got in the post my Roots Kickstarter, the expansion, the Marauder expansion, which I played with Tom, and I'll quickly segue into that because it's, and I also played, we played it with Nick as well.
It's great
we?
Fun. Yeah.
Yeah, with Nick. And it's freaking great. So the two new factions are amazing. You've got the Keepers and Iron who do their own thing and they're great. But I think the Shining Light, which is also on the name of it, is the
Marauders. Need to give the Keepers and Iron another go.
I'd love it. I mean, I think they're great. But not as maniacally hilarious as the roving barbarian horde, which is the
Lord of the Hundreds.
Yeah, the Lord of the Hundreds, which is the Marauder, who is amazing, and also the Hirelings, which is an amazing addition to Root. I mean, Root is complicated as all fuck, but it's another rule. Yeah. It's another set of rules, but it's not that bad. It fits in beautifully. Yeah,
it was really good fun. It changed the flow of the game a bit without completely dominating it.
Exactly that.
It was a nice sort of like extra staple on. And I like that there's more to choose from than the ones that we'd happen to draft for that particular game.
Exactly. I love the whole idea of the Hirelings is great. Like if you go up the victory point track and you get to them first, you get to hire them, you'll get to keep them for a certain amount of turns, but then you must give them to an opponent.
They bounce around.
Brilliant. And there's lots of obviously negotiation that can happen with that, which is wonderful.
Look forward to melting my brain on that.
It's interesting as well that the dice, the method by which you determine how long you get to keep the hireling
is dice.
Okay.
Yeah. And when you are, if you're the person who gets there first and you get the hireling, you roll the dice, but you only count stars of a certain color on the dice, which is basically half the dice pips.
Mm-hmm.
So you get that hireling for less time than the person who you'll probably be handing it off to.
Yeah, which is it's a nice little balancing.
Balancing catch-up mechanic for the fact that you're introducing an extra thing for whoever's in the lead.
It's bloody great. Really, really good. Mm. And I think this is finally, there's probably more, but for the sake of this show, I can't remember. I bought Captain Sonar, which both of you two didn't play, but I did a whole evening of like nautical themed games with played like a bunch of Captain Sonar. And then we
battleships.
And then we played Unfathomable. And Captain Sonar is basically battleships on steroids. It's insane. You can play it a couple of different ways, but the way to play it is real time. And we had three people on each team. Basically,
it goes up to eight, right? Yeah. Four on a team.
Four aside, which apparently is
like Survivor Series.
Yeah,
old.
Apparently is incredible. Yeah, yeah, exactly. It's like old school Survivor Series. So four on each team. You've got a big divider in the middle of the table, and each person plays a different role on your submarine, and you're trying to hunt the other submarine. And it's incredible. All
like, it's simultaneous,
shouting.
Asymmetrical.
Yeah. Shouting,
screaming, and shouting.
It's phenomenal. It's phenomenal. Perfect. Yeah. It's not even that difficult. It's a super, super cool game. And I'll be taking that to UKGE to see if we can round up a few folks because it is
definitely
fucking hilarious. Worth a go.
One of the things that appeals to me most about it is the fact that one of the roles, I think it's the communications officer, his role is to try and spy on what the other team are doing.
So you're just sitting
but
and listening.
Everyone is shouting at each other. So he's trying to overhear what's going on the other side of the table while his own teammates are shouting at each other as well.
he's trying to listen to the opposing captain and like try and track where they've gone on their map. And they're like, oh, captain, I think I've got a bead on them.
Does
ready
sound
torpedoes.
Great.
And then the engineer's like, we can't. I broke the torpedoes. So we went west too many times, so the torpedoes are offline. Like, fuck. That's great. Great game. Right, let's talk about investments, Kickstarter, GameFound, all of that stuff. We've done some of that, I'm sure. I know I have.
Yeah.
And there are some amazing projects out, which we'll talk about a little bit later. But Simon, what have you funded recently?
I have backed a couple of things.
Uh-huh.
Looked at many more, but I kind of promised myself, if I buy more than one game a month, the rate I'm actually able to play them, I feel like I'm going to build a backlog that I'll never overcome. So
like me,
I have to temper myself somewhat. So my two backed highlights are Skate Summer from Pandasaurus.
We like Pandasaurus generally.
We do.
They make really fun stuff.
We talk about it. They've done Wasteland, they did Dinosaur Island, they did Brew. So it's a good it's a good run of games. We've liked all of those.
Yeah, in line with many of their games, it's got that bright neon kind of look. We are very, I mean, so many people, whether it was officially a line or not, said, oh, this is giving me vibes of Tony Hawk Pro Skater. And it totally is. It's that late 90s, hazy summer. Mm-hmm. You know, you've got Mill and Colin on the stereo. And
I think it has a mandatory soundtrack, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
They have actually released an official Spotify playlist.
Oh,
for Skate Summer.
No way.
Yep. It was so well requested in the Kickstarter comments that they went, all right, here
curated
you go.
Soundtrack for it.
Beautiful.
Obviously, we'll talk more about it as and when it arrives.
I can't wait to play that.
It's due in June, apparently, although the pledge manager is a little bit delayed. Essentially, you're playing tricks onto your skateboard. After you play each trick, you roll balance dice, which pushes you left or right. If you push your luck too far, you'll bail.
Nice.
So it's how many tricks do I play before I land safely? Once I've landed safely, I score the points. I then go into the city and I skate around collecting bonus points, which allow me to balance better, extend my board, play new tricks.
Yeah. Upgrade your board. That's so cool.
I'm so looking forward to it.
That sounds amazing. I like the whole idea of
the preview games I've seen played look really good fun, and the add-ons. I don't always back stuff purely based on stretch goals, but some of the stretch goals on this really expanded on what you get in the box. And for the first time I've ever seen it, they created skateboarder meeples for the base game.
Hell yeah.
They created plastic figures for the deluxe edition. Ooh. So many people said, can we still get the wooden meeples if we get the
deluxe? Yeah, right?
So many people asked, they went, we're going to give you both.
So
you get 3D molded print plastic,
really cool,
and then you get
actually,
the meeples as well.
Yeah.
So we're super happy about that. And then all of the cardboard tokens been boosted up to clear acrylic, custom dice and so on. So
very
cool.
I'm excited about that too.
The other one I've backed is called Gigawatt, which is from a company called Play for the Future. I think it might be their first release.
Okay.
Certainly I've not heard of them before. And this, definitely less marketable than the Skate Summer, I think. But it appealed to me. It's based on the energy industry, which is where I work. It gives me vibes of smartphone. I'm hoping it plays in some ways similar to that.
Okay.
Basically, you are looking to change from coal-powered electricity generation to renewables throughout the course of the game.
Oh, cool.
But you still have to provide generation for the requirements of your area in Europe. If you don't, you need to find that source from somewhere else. So if you generate too much, you need to sell that off. Otherwise, it's an imbalance.
Is it like an economy kind of game then?
So you are both generating electricity and then trading electricity to make sure you get the balance right.
And you're like competing energy companies, I guess?
Yeah, you have your different market areas.
You're trying
to make sure you... Essentially, you're looking to develop the fastest towards renewables whilst also maintaining your standard of provision. It's really cool. I also, when I saw it, I dropped an email over to my manager, in fact the head of the company, and went, this game is basically our jobs as a board game. And he went, you better order us a copy then. So not only did I back one for me, I backed one for my company.
Oh wow.
That's
cool.
And we're going to have a copy in the office so we can basically play because that's what you want to do at lunchtime, is play a game version of your job. But I think it's going to be really, really good fun, and again, really kind of dedicated development team there, lots of contact in the Kickstarter, and they were looking to put in as much as they could really get, to the point where we didn't quite hit one of the stretch goals, and they said, you know what, it's not that far off, we're gonna do this anyway because we'd rather it be in there than be missed.
So
I think that's really cool and
nice,
and it's somewhat educational. It gives you information about the real life kind of mechanics behind it.
Very good. Very exciting.
Okay.
Tom, what did you spank a load of money on?
I try and operate under the principle that, Kickstarter is always a little bit risky.
So restrained.
So I try to only back one game project at a time. And I'm still waiting for Vanguard to arrive. So I have not backed
Vanguard's still waiting.
Any other games yet.
All right.
That being said, unfortunately, I spent a lot of money on Geek and Sons Kickstarter instead.
Yes, you did.
Oh, wow, yeah. Mm,
yeah, so I had to sell both my kidneys. and I've backed their latest Kickstarter, which is the Archie modular board gaming table.
So it looks
like the other
amazing
Super Swish Geek and Son tables.
Yeah.
It has the nice sort of like leaves that go on the top to seal it up when you're not using it.
Uh-huh.
It has like the rail system around the outside and the inside so that you can hook little, you know, tables and stuff on the table. And because it's a modular version, in addition to having the sunken well on the inside, it has boxes, sort of wooden boxes that go all the way around the outside that you can either have in or take out in various combinations to customize the size and shape of the play space.
Nice.
And then each of those boxes has covers that you can put on, which have either little sort of like, they have little dice trays built in or little counter trays built in. You can customize the table for use.
So you can really have a game set waiting to play. Yeah. All you need to do is lift the lid.
Yeah,
and it's there.
I've been thinking about getting a proper gaming table for a long time, and Geek and Sons is always one that I've taken a look at, but obviously their prices are eye-watering. So
they are,
waiting for one of their Kickstarters, honestly, is probably the best approach.
Yeah, because the percentage you offer you
they
throw lots of stuff in, don't they?
Yeah, they have a very good track record. They normally have early UK shipment. In this case, you save like nearly half of the value of the table.
Amazing.
Which, I'll be honest, is a huge amount of money.
And let's be honest, it is an investment, though. It's a lifelong piece of furniture.
It'll last for a long time, and I'm going to have to buy a bigger house.
I think that's reasonable.
Yeah,
absolutely. I agree.
The Kickstarter, in theory, they've said will ship in January.
Okay.
But they've also said that they anticipate that they can do the UK shipment, because they will be shipping everything into the UK, probably starting in November. So about 3 months earlier.
That's
actually
pretty good.
That's
pretty good.
What they've done for their last couple of campaigns as well.
Really good.
I
can't wait to play it on your table.
Me either. I'm really looking forward to having a cat-proof zone where I can leave games out.
Absolutely. Alrighty. I funded some stuff. I funded a game called Block by Block Uprising.
It's really cool.
Which
does
look really super cool. It's essentially a cooperative or semi-cooperative, there's a few different ways you can play it, strategy game, and it's inspired by like protest movements, riots, you know, uprisings, that sort of thing, anti-authority, anti-authoritarian inspiration, I guess, theme. And each player controls a different faction. You've either got the workers, the students, the neighbors, or the prisoners, and you're struggling together against the police of a city and struggling against the authorities. And the city changes each game as well. You can build barricades, you clash with the police, you occupy different districts, building aid networks, and you're trying to free the city under the auspices and control of the ruling class. And looks super fun, actually. The design is great. It's got a wonderful, colorful, not really humorous, it's sort of a lighter take on that theme than you might imagine based on the description. It's like little blocks basically stomping around the place.
Yeah.
Little
it's
tiny
very
wooden
neon, brightly coloured pieces.
Yeah, exactly. So, and it looks super fun. Read good reviews. It's a small print run, small company, and the first three editions went completely out, like straight away, sold out. No print run, can't find it.
So, I didn't realize this was a reprint.
Yeah. So it's a reprint with expansions and upgraded rules and all sorts. So, and this is likely to also probably never be printed again. So got that one. And it looks super exciting. I also funded Mind Management, the reprint of that, which is an extremely highly rated one versus all game.
Mm.
Yeah, that looks like it's going to be a bit of a mindfuck.
It's going to look
super duper hidden movement. Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah. In much the same vein as things like Spectre Ops or what did we play with Ben?
New Angeles? No.
No.
The One Versus All, like the Jack the Ripper. Why is it Letters from Whitechapel?
Letters from Whitechapel.
From Whitechapel.
Which was
Brilliant.
Absolutely brilliant.
I fucking love that game.
Yeah. So it was great.
So actually. Good.
Very, very good. So it's kind of like that, but it has its own different vibe and a crazy, amazing art style based on, I think, a graphic novel series. So very excited about that. So those are the two things that I funded, in addition to the other stuff that I've got on the way, which I'm waiting for. So yeah, good stuff, good stuff.
Loads of things in the chamber, basically.
Yeah, loads of stuff in the chain. But alongside that stuff, which we've either funded or bought, there's some amazing stuff out there at the moment. Is there anything that sort of caught your eye on the interwebs?
Yeah, we had a brief discussion about this the other day. There's a game that popped up recently called Citrus.
Yes.
Which is sort of cyberpunk.
Gives me Final Fantasy VII vibes.
Similar.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I know.
Now,
I know.
The thing that really caught my eye is that the board is 3D.
Yeah.
You have like almost a city skyline that is built up with these sort of 3D
and it's like
tower block elements.
A multi-tiered sky city.
Looks really, really cool.
I've not looked too much in detail at this. Does that come into the gameplay, or is it a bit like Everdell, where it's more of a...
No, I think the levels and stuff actually matter. It's actually positional rather than just being a space to store things.
Yeah, Wayne showed me a picture.
Yeah, it looks
a bit
like... You move. The idea is to move up through the levels,
you have
I think.
Ascend through the levels to the higher levels where all the mega corporations are.
Ascend to Stratos, it says.
Exactly, to the Stratos Tower by trading with Stratolites, showing off your various illegal goods. It looks cool. It looks cool. So it's apparently some an amalgamation of different mechanisms that supposedly work quite well from the previews that I've seen. So
it's quite a color palette, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's got
really
like neons and blacks.
This was the picture that I'd seen with the 3D tower blocks that you can build up.
Yeah, it looks super cool. Synthwave was a game.
Yeah, essentially. So that looks like a good one, and is a temptation for me. So I'll think about it for sure. Not sure if I will. One that I've seen, I've seen a few. I mean, there's too many. There's a couple that I'll just rattle off because I'm probably not going to fund them. One being Sleeping God's Distant Skies. It's a standalone sequel / expansion.
Yeah, I've seen that advertised.
Because it is a narrative, campaign-esque game, I just do not have room for them. So I can't.
I wonder if it has sort of like one scenario, one shot sort of rules like Above and Below. Sorry, not Above and Below. Like Near and Far.
It might do, but I still think those games are best played in a campaign. Probably.
I'm sure they probably offer a lot more playing in that way. But it's nice to have games that come with both options.
True.
Because some games, it's like campaign all or nothing.
True. Another one is, I kind of tempted, but I probably won't, is the Great Wall reprint. So there's a reprint by Awakened Realms. Arrakis! Wrong subject.
Awakened Realms have been on a bit of a run recently with either re-releasing in a big way or coming up with more kind of original concepts.
They're on a tear.
Yeah.
They are fast becoming very, very good, very known for their massive productions generally.
Tamashii, am I remembering that
right? That's the one.
I was close to ordering that, but decided again. It was one of those, and it was interesting to see because we've talked about it a couple of times, the standees versus plastic miniatures.
They
did a quality version in both, which meant that I wasn't desperately tempted to buy the one with the 3D minis.
Yeah.
Because the standees did look cool.
They look fine. I like standees.
That's what I've done with Vanguard. They had an option where you could go all in, get 3D miniatures for all the enemies and they could all be sundrop and all that sort of stuff. And I'm like, I don't really care that much. I'll have the four hero characters as miniatures. That's like standard, but can't really be bothered to go for the rest of it, to be honest.
Yeah. Another one which looks amazing and has a ton of stuff.
I love the standee look on this.
What's this one? Uprising. So this looks insane. It has, where is it? The core box reprint starts at like $99. So it's that sort of game. It's a big production. Yeah. Co-op 4X in a sort of dark, grimdark fantasy environment. Looks awesome. Probably won't. It's not coming to retail, so it's either you're going to fund it or you're not. No. And I'm not going to fund it. Mm. So, but it looks amazing.
I'm always a little bit apprehensive with games that are on such limited run.
I think it's just because of the price. You cannot retail something that you fund for $100.
Well,
I mean, then you add the retailers' chunk, distribution to retailers. That game will come out.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's becoming a more common thing, or it's just I'm seeing it more because I'm looking more than I ever had. But yeah, that high end will never go to retail because it's not tenable. Seems to be quite a common thing.
Mm. It's becoming more common. What was the one we did last time with the big ships?
Just looking that up because there's an interesting. It's called Eldara. To me, on the first look, it looked like a fancy, like a.
And that had like a base budget of like $200.
Yeah, magic fantasy version of Twilight Imperium on first look.
All custom miniatures, all the factions had different miniature prints.
It was nuts.
It actually failed on first attempt.
Oh, really? Did it?
They've re-released it. They went away and they went, we realised that our proposition was so massive. You know, their production cost, they said, was going to be $1 million+.
Jeez.
So, and they went, they basically said, we realised that our starting point is so crazy high that, I mean, they didn't use those words, that it wasn't, you know, even in a Kickstarter realm, it wasn't marketable enough.
Yeah.
So what they've done is they've scaled back quite literally. Everything is smaller. So the ships that were nearly 20 centimeters long are now.
Yeah, I remember seeing the adverts.
So
and the selling point was, look how giant our ships are. It's like, I don't have space.
Yeah, so they've quite literally scaled everything back and relaunched.
Okay.
And it has successfully funded. I'm just looking now. It raised $302,000 of a $200,000 goal. So they've really tightened their goals there.
Still not massive, though. Like that's not.
It's not a runaway success of some other stuff, like your Awakened Realms, which went into 4.5 million bucks.
Yeah, but
it's
nice
to see that kind of adaptation, though, and then going, oh, actually, this is.
There is a
bonkers.
Market for high end bonkers stuff if people want it.
$200 as a starting point is hugely restrictive.
Yeah, you're looking at a specific demographic.
There's not really anything
The Gloomhaven demographic.
The Gloomhaven demo. Yeah, Frosthaven demo, those folks.
But even that was, you know, Gloomhaven retails at 105, so...
Yeah, it's about 100.
It's considerable.
Yeah, 100 something, 100 something.
Yeah, it was interesting to see that it... Because I saw it come up 2 months after I'd originally seen it, went, why is this saying launching tomorrow or launching in 4 days? And I looked into it and, they didn't make it because it was just too big for itself.
I wasn't even aware that happened. Mm. Wow. Also, another game which, I won't fund because it's like sort of a heavily narrative-based one, and I keep seeing a lot about it, is The Dark Quarter. Sort of a... Where's this sort of based? Yeah, Dark Orleans is sort of based in it. It's a dark fantasy sort of... you become a Bowman Agency detective in feature-length stories that uncover the monstrous truths hidden in Dark Orleans.
I saw this. This is the one with Jeff Bridges as the Big Lebowski on the cover. you tell me it isn't.
Yeah, I guess it is. Yeah,
100%. It very much is. Yeah,
it's a little bit that.
Yeah, I did have a little flick through that. It looked quite intriguing.
Yeah, it's kind of film noir.
Yeah,
detective mystery. Apparently, it's a very heavy digital hybrid.
Okay.
So I'm assuming or imagining something like Forgotten Waters.
Yeah, that's where I was going
to
go.
Yeah, right.
And if they hold it to that quality, then that'd be a blast. But
yeah, but apparently it's quite a mature content game. So I don't know, maybe something like that could be fun. But again, I just no space for it on my shelf.
Yeah, it's a shame that, you know, there are some games that you sort of just rule out immediately because you know that they're going to be too large for you to really ever make.
Well, it just won't get to the table based on how we play games, which is quite omnivorous. You know, I like to get a lot of different games out and play different things each week. We struggled to get through Jaws of the Lion over 20 weeks or whatever that was.
Yeah,
it was
and that's, you know, the bite-sized version of Gloomhaven.
Yeah,
so
Christ.
Good Lord, I know that we would never have got Gloomhaven. It's just not right for us.
No, not right for us. It's a lifestyle game we talked about. Yeah. I think lifestyle games is becoming its own thing where you buy that game and that's you and your group and you play that pretty much exclusively.
Yeah.
Over a period of months.
Yes.
And you enjoy it. Yeah, well, in our case, maybe.
Yeah, there's definitely an appeal to that direction. But as you say, I I think we all really like to experience the plethora of variability out there. I don't always want the super heavy game. I don't always want a throwaway game. I don't always necessarily want a midweight Euro game. I want to try
a few things,
a whole range of stuff.
And it's the variability that appeals, really. It's the ability to pull something off the shelf for any situation and audience. Mm.
Exactly that. Let's talk about Last Light. It's one I've seen advertised a lot, and I think we've all seen it.
Yeah.
I think this looks amazing, and this is one I'm very close to pulling the trigger on.
Yeah, a game with its own Lazy Susan.
I guess so.
Sure.
Actually designed by Roy Cannaday, who is one of the team of the Dice Tower.
Is it?
Yeah. Probably one of the more famous board game news / reviewing YouTube series that there is, YouTube channels. Roy Cannaday seems like a really nice guy, and it seems like he knows his stuff. He's a big fan of sci-fi games, as I've seen over the time that I've watched him and his content and the team's content. And Last Light looks amazing, being published by Grey Fox Games, who have published a bunch of stuff before. So a known publisher who have taken it on for him. And it looks like it does some really cool stuff. It's a 4X,
yep,
but playable in an hour.
I mean, that in itself is like... I need to play it to see how.
I'd wait and see. Nothing ever plays quite in the time billed as, but that's still very low for a 4X.
Yeah, even if it gets to 90 minutes, it's amazing. Yeah. And part of that is what I like. It does something that I like in games. It's simultaneous action card play.
Planning.
So you play your cards, you've got your hand of cards, you play your action card, everyone does it at the same time, and you resolve simultaneously. Mm-hmm. So that obviously helps speed things up.
Yep.
And sometimes you'll get a clash or whatever, or an interaction where you'll resolve that first and then you'll carry on. And it also does some really funky stuff, like the center of the board moves and rotates, which changes where people are potentially going to be interacting and where they are to each other. And you know it's going to happen, so you have to plan for it as part of your strategy.
Yeah.
Because, obviously everything is moving. Like, it's going around the central last light,
sun of the universe. It's supposed to be, a representation of orbits around a star.
Mm. That's right. Yeah.
Stuff that drifts in rings. Is it three rings?
I think it's
Two rings that rotate around the star.
It does look so
good.
Which
is really cool.
What's it currently up at?
It's to back.
Yeah.
So it's currently raised $376,000 of a $50,000 goal.
Nice.
Which is amazing, actually. They've done a great job.
Fairly reasonable. Yeah, yeah.
And you can actually get the base edition. 80? I think it's $80. That's the standard edition, $80. So about £60.
Yeah.
Which has quite a lot of stuff in the box. Yeah. Lots of plastic. Yeah.
We've not done it yet,
stuff,
but I'm curious whether this might be one where we go... start buying stuff as a split.
Maybe we should. I think we should. I think the deluxe edition...
Not that I mind you guys buying shit, of course.
Yeah, well, the deluxe edition goes for about $110, so it'd be about £80.
It's mostly upgraded tokens and stuff.
And it looks great. So that one, I'm very... I'll probably work for the trip.
Yeah, we've all independently found it, and then you shared the link the other day and went, oh, yeah, we have something.
Yeah, it keeps popping up every now and then. I'm like, still looks really interesting.
Mm. Alrighty, so I'll roll it over to you folks. What's your coming up plans? Anything else we haven't mentioned? Anything else you want to talk about?
Well, unless Tom has, I'll go that way. I've got some D&D
bits. I was going to say something similar, actually. At the comic shop recently, we started doing Adventurers League again.
We have.
So people might have seen that, might have been down to play. I went and helped run this weekend just passed. So they're looking to try and do that every couple of weeks. And it's busier than ever, actually. This weekend just passed, we managed to fill 4 tables. So that's 20 players playing 4 separate games simultaneously with their own DMs.
Nice.
Including some new players, which is always exciting.
Including a bunch of new players. Yeah, it's great. Yeah, we're super welcoming to new players. Eric, in particular, at the shop, he's helping to sort of organise all of this, and he's done a bunch of sessions to help teach new players how to play the latest edition of D&D, to help people make characters, to get them into playing Adventurers League, which is sort of low-commitment games, and you can then go from there. If you can find a group of players, or if you can find a few people that you play with at one of these sessions, and you like what you see, then you can turn that into you know, your own game, or you can sort of look to sort of organise games through the shop, which is great. I think it's really, really great to see people back in the shop playing D&D.
Yeah, nice. It's super exciting to see. Mm. I wish I could get there more regularly than I do to either run or join in. I think I do enjoy playing more, less pressure. Yeah, so D&D news and D&D akin, let's say.
D&D adjacent.
Yeah. I must have mentioned at some point over the last year, because it's been nearly a year since I originally backed it on Kickstarter, the Dungeons and Lasers 3rd edition terrain set.
Terrain insane.
People have been going crazy for the last 2 months because there wasn't an update. They finally released an update and they said, you know how shipping was due in August? We're starting to ship on the 9th of May.
Oh, wow. That's a nice bit of news. They're
people
like,
have lost their
ship. Surprise. It's coming.
So I'm going to have an horrendous amount of plastic arriving in a couple of weeks.
Hell yeah. Well, that's the kind of update you want from your Kickstarter.
I think I had a relatively moderate backing. Looking at what some other people, they've spent upwards of £1,000 on it.
Jeez.
They are going to have... You know, we're setting at an 8-foot long table here. They will cover that easily with not the terrain displayed, with the boxes.
Yeah, good.
Stupid
grief.
Amounts.
Wow.
The same company, Archon Studios, at the same time announced they have officially teamed up with Paizo, who make Pathfinder. And they are going to be releasing adventure terrain packs that go directly with Pathfinder adventure stories.
Oh, really?
So it's going to be more unique terrain, including loads of add-on scatter and stuff.
So terrain specifically for an adventure. That's good.
Yeah.
Like a pre-written adventure. Yeah, here's your adventure, and here's also your terrain with it.
Yeah, so at some point in the game, you'll arrive at this tomb. You can configure this specific pack to make this specific tomb map and play. And I think they're going to have some add-on like character pieces and so on. So that's really cool that Archon have got to this level, because their Kickstarter was phenomenal. They raised a ton of money for what is plastic toys, effectively.
Yeah, yeah. Aren't they all?
Yeah, well, quite. So they've got to this level where they are now officially teamed up with Paizo.
Nice.
Pathfinder, for those who don't know, is a spin-off effectively of D&D.
Yeah, so. Effectively D&D adjacent, like you said.
Yeah.
In other D&D announcements, Spelljammer.
I was going to say that one, yeah.
An area which has been much loved.
Space pirates.
Space piracy.
Traveling through the cosmos.
Space nonsense in the multiverse is officially coming in a pack. It's going to be interesting, a pack with three individual books.
Can you play like a Harangan and be like Bucky O'Hare?
Yes.
100%.
Absolutely.
The much loved GIF. I think it's GIF and not JIF. It's a double F.
Jeff.
So. Jeff. Fight me if you want to call it. the Hippokin. I don't know how else they're... all kinds of hippo boys.
They are gun specialists, just for that mental image.
I've got a Space Warriors and Aliens Top Trump game from the 90s, and in that is a hippo space policeman, effectively.
Excellent.
So I can now play that guy.
It's like a fever dream.
Yeah.
Spelljammer sounds
exciting.
Spelljammer is easily the most bonkers of published D&D settings of the past.
Yeah. It's an adventure book, though, right? It's not a source book.
It's a bit of everything.
A bit of both, yeah.
So, yeah, it comes with these three different books. So it's going to be some kind of source book type adventure.
Oh, there is. Okay.
Yeah.
I think the idea is for it to be more in the vein of something like the Frank Richton's Guide to Ravenloft sort of thing.
Oh, okay.
It's got quite a lot of setting in it.
Yeah. And then it's going to have the new... Well, they've been unearthed Arcana, so you'd have seen things like Plasmoids, where you can basically play a jelly-like
thing.
The Three Kreen, which is the insectoids with four arms, so you can hold a shield and two swords and do all kinds of Grievous lightsaber nonsense, probably. The official D&D YouTube channel are running a Adventures in the Multiverse series.
Yeah.
They've got about 10 really... well-known people switching in and out DMs and running different bits of the story. You've got people like B. Dave Walters, Brendan Lee Mulligan, Avri Iyengar. And first episode out now, it's hilarious, as you'd imagine. Just absolute space nonsense.
Amazing, yeah.
And lastly, so I don't waffle on too long, I have pre-ordered at the comic shop the Journeys Through the Radiant Citadel, which again is set in the ethereal plane. The Radiant Citadel is, I think, a new place.
Ah.
This book's going to be a bit like Candlekeep Mysteries, which was...
Oh, cool, yeah. A collection of...
An anthology things, yeah. of adventures, which runs levels 1 to 14.
Uh-huh.
13 different...
bunch of little ones, yeah.
Yeah, you can join them together because the Radiant Citadel is effectively the hub.
Yeah.
And then everything else spans out from there. So, oh, there's a portal off to this wacky realm. That's your adventure today.
It's a little bit weird for me that they decided to make a new place and they didn't do the Astral Sea and Sigil. And go a little bit more... Well, I suppose that's more Planescape.
We'll go back to Greyhawk.
I think that's coming. Greyhawk, some people say, they reckon, is the unannounced book, which is coming August, September.
Also Dragonlance.
Yeah,
they're publishing Dragonlance again.
Nice. And there is, I think... I'm not sure if I read this right. A Dragonlance movie in the works. Or at least a D&D general movie in the works. Radiant Citadel I found particularly interesting as well because they're all black or brown authors, so they're bringing their history and cultural heritage to the settings as well, which would be very interesting as a new spin on the D&D universe. I'm excited to see how that comes out.
Cool.
Thanks for listening to Bored Stupid. Subscribe to us for updates and to get future episodes of the show delivered directly to your ear holes via your favourite podcast service. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram at Bored Stupid UK, spelled B-O-A-R-D, and wherever you can find your favourite podcasts. Please check out our affiliate link below. Go visit thecomicshop.co.uk/boredstupid, again spelled B-O-A-R-D. Do your normal shopping if you're in for a board game or a D&D book, and you'll get yourself some free shipping. If you like our content, do us a massive favour, give us a 5-star review wherever you can review us, and share the links to the episodes on social media. If you've got any feedback, comments or questions, stick it in the comments below because we love to hear from you. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you again real soon.
See you soon, folks.
Hello.